Thank you, Terry. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Arapaho. I needed all that today. As we navigate the whirlwind of life and our lives, gathering with you together around the love, the faith, the hope, the peace of God with you, the purpose that God calls us to, is something I am so incredibly thankful for, that we're in this together. So recently, I had one of those like busy days, you know, one of those where you know the night before what the day is going to look like, so you just breathe deep and you carb load. You got to have the energy ready to get through the day the next day. And so I wake up early that next morning and I step outside. And the night before, so that I could hit the ground running, I'd taken the trash out so that I could get going in the morning. And when I walked out to leave on this busy day, something had gotten into one of the trash bags. And not just one of the trash bags, the trash bag that had the crumbly styrofoam in it. Yeah. And it was now all over the neighborhood, and it looked like the snowstorm had come again to us. For a moment, I thought about my busy schedule, and I looked around for a raccoon to blame it on. And I looked at my to-do list, and I thought all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of words in that moment. I looked at my neighbor's houses all covered with snow that will not biodegrade. I looked at my calendar. I took a deep breath. I put down my bags, and I got to work. I'm not looking for applause, because I literally did like the minimum human decent thing in that moment. But at that moment, I had to decide what was the most important thing for me to say yes to. What was the right thing? Saying yes to my neighbors and to human decency meant saying no to my schedule. It meant asking grace from my colleagues and maybe getting a little bit less done that day than I'd planned to get done. Some things weren't going to be done right, but I was going to be doing the right thing in that right moment. And so that moment, as I spent my morning picking up styrofoam snow from the whole neighborhood, I didn't feel stressed or chaotic. I felt clear. I had said yes to the thing I needed to say yes to, and there was peace in that. Of course, not every story ends like that, but more often than not, when we do the right thing, even if we don't reach the destination we'd intended for, there's peace in knowing that we're headed in the right direction. Every yes or no that we say shapes our path. Direction determines our destination. And right now, with all that's swirling around our lives and in our world, our souls, difficult choices, uncertain outcomes, a little clarity in our mornings would be helpful, right? All the while, the world is pushing us toward yeses of shallow success, toward comfort at the expense of conscience, toward turning away from the pain of others to protect ourselves, toward walking away from the mess because we've got a busy morning. Our life can feel overwhelming and our souls underwhelmed amidst it all, can't it? There are many ways to respond to this, but today I want to focus on two tiny, powerful words, the words yes and no. Those are words that go together. Because every yes means saying no to something else, right? And every no we say is an opportunity to find a better yes on our journey. Maybe even to be guided by a better yes, our best yes, our true destination. The idea comes from the teaching of Jesus, who offered this little enigmatic aphorism to those who would listen. He said this in Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. He was, in that moment, talking about a lot of things, about being true to our word, about not using coercion to get our way. But he was also offering this simple moral framework for us, to let our yeses be for the things worth saying yes to, the direction that we really want our life to go, and to say no to the rest, and to let it be. Today's choices become tomorrow's circumstances. And so we need to make sure that our choices, our yeses, are setting us in the right direction for tomorrow, even knowing that some days we walk out on tomorrow and the raccoon's been there ahead of us. But to make those choices so that we're in the right direction for tomorrow, or as my little nephew used to say, for tomorrow and three morrow and four morrow and all of the morrows ahead for us. Let our yes be for our best yes, which is a great idea in the abstract. But when life and expectations and relationships dynamics come in, there can be a lot of expectations to say yes to. Our Instagram reels keep us wanting to say more. Our job says that a full calendar means that we're living fully. And for me, walking down the Lego aisle is a place where it's really hard to say no. My family's fine. It's me that has a hard time saying no to that. The world says to say yes at any cost. But when our yes is determined by the affirmation and evaluation of others, we can end up chasing self-worth like they're tiny bits of styrofoam in the wind, which is exhausting, trust me. Or it's just the fact that these days there's so much important good to do in this world, and I want to say yes to it all. And so how do we find our best yes? How do we know our best yes? Much we could say about this, but I think it begins with ourselves, with playing our part, with our gifts and our graces, right where God has placed you. Saying yes to your sacred purpose and what God has entrusted you with in your life, your family, your work, your community, wherever you are. Your best yes is found in you doing the good that is yours to do. And for me, that begins with doing what is only mine to do. I'm a pastor, yes, and that is part of what is mine to do. But before that, I am a parent and I am a partner. Others can preach. Pastors Jenny and Kathy do it very, very well. But no one else is Grace and Hudson's dad and Lindsay's spouse. And so my yes there needs to be a big yes first. In order to say that big yes, that means saying little no's elsewhere, which is hard to do, as my calendar attests. But it is vital in those most important relationships that we lean toward those best yeses. In my own life growing up, my dad was a pastor. And so now that I am in that line of work, I have great appreciation for all of the yeses and no's that are involved in that. But in high school, I played soccer. And when the schedule came out, before it went on the refrigerator, it went to the church committees. My dad would take it and say, "Here are the nights that I'm not available. What we do is important, but I need to make sure that my first yes is yes." Now, not all of us have that kind of flexibility in our workplaces. And in his life, there were still emergencies and hospital visits, of course, that pulled him away. But because he tried to say his best yes first, even amidst the expectation of others, when I look back on adolescence, what endures is his presence in my life. And I know it caused short-term complications, but long-term, I think I stand here today in part because I didn't resent the yeses that my dad said to church. I have 99 therapy topics, but that's not one of them. Right? In every relation, we have vocation. And as much as you can, make sure that you say your best yeses first to your best calling. And this year, we have an opportunity as we begin our year to refresh that yes, to remember and center ourselves on those things that God calls us to first. And there's a lot more that we could say about the personal aspect of this, but I want to make sure that we also have time to spend time listening to Jesus's wisdom for us together in our public collective life as we seek to stand and say yes to what matters. Because there are moments when I open the news in the morning and it seems like the trash day raccoons have been out in the world. and I wonder where to even start. Oftentimes we're weighing valid good things side by side, and we're not sure what to do. How do we balance when to speak up and when to stand up? How do we make sure that we are saying the best yes when there is so much to do? When Jesus came on the scene, there were lots of religious and cultural rules swirling in the water to say yes to. And when Jesus stepped up to offer his teaching, it wasn't about adding more to the to-do list. It was a teaching about centering our direction. Of all the ways that we could go, of all the yeses that we could say and the to-dos that we could to do, Jesus' invitation was simple but profound. He said, "Follow me. Follow me." And what does Jesus say that following looks like? Jesus says, they'll know that you're following by one thing, by your love. Love of neighbor, love of yourself, love of God and what God loves. Make that the direction that you follow after. And that question of how to do that, and of the question of love and what love guides us to, can provide some direction amidst uncertainty. When we face a fork in the road, simply asking, in light of everything, what does love ask of me? Love of God and what God loves. What is life-giving? What is good and honest, uplifting and liberating? Love of my neighbor, those around me. What is loving to those affected by my decision? And love of myself. What helps me flourish in all that I am? What does love ask of me? Those are big questions. And they don't give us turn-by-turn directions, but they give us a compass heading that can point us in the right direction. And direction determines whether we reach our destination. Direction determines our destination, that if love is the end, then choosing to walk in the direction of love amidst those forks in the road will get us there. I remember a story that I heard about a competition to see who could plow the straightest row. This was before TikTok, and so obviously they were very bored. And so in the TikTok way, this is what we might call a viral straight row plowing challenge that they took on. All the competitors were concentrating on plowing the perfect row, and they were looking down and checking their feet, their wheel. They were micro-adjusting every step, and they were wandering all over the field as they went. Except for the one who, rather than looking down at every micro step, simply picked a distant tree and walked toward it. His row had some twists and turns, but it led straight to the right place. Direction determines our destination, which is why Jesus' teaching to us was, follow me, pursue love. He didn't step on the scene and give us another 10 commandments. We didn't need more instructions or information for our journey. What we needed was the courage and the empowerment and the refreshed calling to put love into action, to set our direction toward the best, yes, the destination. Even when other things are pulling us in different directions, Jesus said the compass heading is love. Follow me through all the twists and turns along the way, and you can have peace on the journey, that however your road leads, it will lead to the right place. One thing that I've learned in following after love is that it often means simply to find the people who are already doing the work and to follow their lead. And this is important in these times especially, that if we want to make a difference and truly walk toward love, to find those who are already doing the work well and to follow their lead. As a pastor, I know a little bit about Greek, but I don't know everything about some of the things that we're called to know in our time, about immigration or reproductive rights, the vulnerability of the trans experience. But there are people who do, who are doing the work and have been for a while. And if I listen to learn and ask how I can help, and then simply say yes to showing up, I find myself following after a deeply rooted tree of love in action. The next few days, Pastor Kathy and others from Arapahoe are in Austin working with Texas Impact and other faith partners in the legislative session, working with those who are doing the work and learning from people doing the work of justice in our world. Thursday night, we'll gather, many of us from Arapahoe, we'll gather with other Dallas interfaith groups who are doing the same, prayerfully considering how we can set our direction toward what love calls us to and say yes to what matters in our time. And along the way, we'll listen. We'll listen to each other, listen to those doing work. We'll listen, I hope, to the loving heart of God that stirs in us and the Spirit that moves. And we'll learn, and then we'll show up together to say yes to love in action. On the journey before us, there will be many twists and turns. There are rocks in the field, there'll be missteps along the way. But if we keep following, keep saying yes, love will lead us exactly where we need to go. And when the opportunity is before us, I pray that I will, and that we will, have the courage to say the best yes on this journey as we go forward. We saw a powerful example of that courage this past week in the Bishop Marion Edgar Buddy. I really thought about taking the week off and just replaying her sermon to you all, and I bet you wish that you could have, but I hope you'll take the opportunity to watch the entire thing. She had the opportunity to preach before incoming leaders in the National Cathedral, and there were many things in that moment to say yes to. There were expectations, there was tradition, hospitality, unity, self-preservation. And she did her best to say yes to as many of those as she could in that moment. But at the end of the day, there was the best yes, the following the way of Jesus, who says that love is good news to the imprisoned and the poor, who calls us to love our neighbor Samaritans and to turn the other cheek. And she offered a Jesus following call to mercy, spoken in love. Many said this was not the time and place, and I hear that and I appreciate that. But Buddy considered a higher calling, and so she chose to say her best yes in that moment to the higher vision, to follow the way of Jesus that is love for all, that is love and mercy for immigrants and trans kids and vulnerable women, to say yes to that love, and also to say yes to love for presidents and congresspersons as well. But to say yes to a love that asks us all, facing the different poles of power and privilege and demands of our world, to set our vision higher and to say the best yes to love. And so in her sermon, before she got to that climactic moment, she laid out three foundations of unity, the fixed points of love that we look to and seek to look to together, drawn from our baptismal vows and from Scripture. And she said this: the foundations of that unity are to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak truth to one another in love, and to walk humbly with each other and our God. This is the love that we set as our compass heading, that we call each other to, and that God calls us to together. The higher vision of love that we're called to follow after, to say yes to that as best we can. Our friend from here at Arapahoe, Arva Tatman, sent me this past week public theologian Diana Butler Bass's article that she wrote reflecting on Bishop Buddy called The First Sermon, because it was the first sermon of this season. But Butler Bass also said this to us. She wrote, "Remember, this is the first sermon for these days. We will need a chorus of millions of such sermons over the next 4 years. Add your voice. Whether preaching to a congregation or sharing a more casual reflection with your friends or family, don't be shy. Speak courageously, grounded in a commitment to dignity, truth, and humility." We don't all get a chance to preach sermons as we go, but we do get to choose the sermons our lives will preach. Every yes and no we choose preaches. May our lives preach the good news of love. Right now in the field before us, before our plow, it's messy and rocky and overwhelming. But we know our fixed point, love. Love made visible in dignity and truth and humility. Love that says yes to justice even when costly. Love that protects the vulnerable. Love that refuses to turn from our neighbor's pain. Love that believes that unity is forged not through silence, but through truth-telling and humble grace. And so, Arapaho, may we keep our eyes fixed on love's horizon, letting our no be no and our yes be yes, knowing that direction determines our destination, no matter where it leads. And together, may our lives preach a million sermons on love until that day when love's higher vision is no longer just the horizon we are walking toward, but the fertile ground beneath our feet. It can be, it must be, and it will be. And so may it be so in us. In the grace of God, and the power of community, and the love of that Holy Spirit that leads us on. Amen, friends. Amen.